converting people. And we're going to look at a story in John chapter number 4, if you'll turn today. John chapter number 4. We're going to see a story where Jesus himself, and Jesus was God and is God, and he was here in the on this earth in a human form. He was 100% God and 100% man. And when Wendy and I went to the Israel, one of the first day we woke up and the sun was not yet up, and we were getting ready for a busy day, and we opened the blinds to the hotel room, and from me to that wall right there, you could tell that there was water. We were on the Sea of Galilee, Sea of Tiberias. It was in Tiberias, we watched the sun come up on the other side. The sun came up, and we watched the sun and looked at the water, just amazed. You know, so much of the Bible took place over the Sea of Galilee and around the Sea of Galilee. And the next morning, we got up and we got on a boat, and a boat much like would have been back in the Bible days, and we went out. And the first thing that the man said when we started out on the Sea of Galilee, he said, you know, in the Bible, there's several occasions where Jesus talks about going to the other side. He said, you may think that if the boat's over there, and he would say, okay, we're going to go to the other side, you can come over here. Or the boat may is over there, and we tell the captain or the person in charge of the ship, take me to the other side, you go over there. He said, but that's not true. That's not the way the culture has ever been in Israel. The culture has always been in Israel for the Jew that when you're on the Sea of Galilee and anyone says, let's go to the other side, it's a particular place. And he pointed and he said, it's right over there. No matter where you start, no matter where you are, there's a place called the other side. The other side's where the half-breed Jews lived. The other side is where the demoniac of Gadara lived. The other side is where the woman at the well encounter would have been. The other side. Different from where the custom of the Jews, where Tiberias and Galilee and Nazareth, and it was the other side, over there. And that's what the Bible says here in chapter number 4. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. Verse 2 says, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. Now, I want to pause here for a moment. That statement is what could be one of the biggest indictments against Jesus Christ if baptism is necessary for salvation. You only baptize your disciples? What are you saying, Brother Birch? I am saying that baptism is not necessary to go to heaven to be saved. It's a sign of obedience. You're not saved by what you do. You're saved by a Savior, and His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. And so He says, I only baptize my disciples. And yet, there was a big, way back then, there was a big commotion about how to be saved, saved from our sins. Look at verse number 3. Jesus left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And the Bible says he must needs go through Samaria. So let me explain this. Whenever you're in Israel and you're going to go back to Galilee, the quickest way is to go to the right. To go down and go around through Samaria. In fact, it will save an entire day if you go that way. In fact, we couldn't go that way. We could not go to the well that we're going to talk about today in John chapter 4 because it's owned by another country. And there's still borders there. You really can't cross over without great risk. And so we were not able to go to the well that we're talking about today in this passage. We saw it. We could see it all from a distance. He pointed and showed us where it was. But we cannot go there. The Jews would never go that way. The Jews would always go an extra day and go around to the left. They would go by what we know as Jericho. And that's the distance they would go. And it was always a day more journey that way. So Jesus says, hey, I'm going back to Galilee, but I must needs go through Samaria. We're going to go the short way, but there's a purpose, there's a reason that I've got to go to this place called Samaria. If God had a divine appointment that He knew was set at this well with this woman. And boy, God is still doing divine appointments today. Amen? In fact, He might be doing one this very hour. It's no accident that you're here. It's no accident that I'm here. It's no accident we're turning to John chapter number 4. And so, He must needs go through Samaria. That little cough. I don't have COVID. I'm not sick. It's just I have gag reflex. So if anything's dripping down the back of my throat, there's a problem, all right? And thank you very much. Thank you. In John chapter number 4, we're going to read verse number 5. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. I want you to notice the next verse 6. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the 6th hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. Now this is about the noon hour. This is not early in the morning when most women would come and get water. They would come before the sun got hot. They would come before the heat would rise in Israel, in that area, in that land. And so she is now in the heat of the day when almost nobody is there. She shows up. Jesus is sitting on the well. She comes to this well. And there's a reason that she comes at this hour. And we're going to look at that a little bit later. But Jesus looks at this woman and He says, give me to drink. He sees her. He speaks to her and says, give me something to drink. Can I get some water? Now, Jesus broke several cultural rules in that moment. Number one, a Jew was speaking to a Samaritan, communicating in public with the Samaritan. That never happened. I mean, that was just a no-no. The Jews had nothing to do with the Samaritans, we're going to read in a few moments. The second thing was a woman and a man communicating in a public place. That was unheard of in Bible times. That was not a thing of the day. So there were several barriers that Jesus, we're going to see, busted through here in John chapter 4. Number one, a religious barrier. We're going to see that. Number two, a moral barrier. We're going to understand that in a little bit. Number three, a racial barrier. And number four, a gender barrier, a gender wall that was up. And Jesus just walked right past all of those because He had something for that person. Amen. Now, I don't tell you, I don't know who you are, but God's got a divine appointment for you. I don't know how much hurt you have. I don't know what you've been through. I don't know what pains you have. But I know somebody who cares. And yes, He cares. Amen. And He'll show up for you just like He did for this woman. And the Bible says here, then verse number 10, that Jesus answered and said unto her, because notice what He says, but let me back up. Verse 8, for His disciples are gone away into the city to buy meat. Then said He to the woman of Samaria unto Him, how is it that thou being a Jew askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, watch this, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, to thee, give me drink, thou wouldest have asked of Him, and He would have given thee living water. Jesus says, I got a plan. I got a sovereign plan. I've got something for you. I'm asking water of you, but if you knew who I was, you'd be asking living water from me. And I want you to notice at the end of the verse here for a moment, because we're going to skip around just a second. Look at verse 37. In the last day, John chapter 7. Go over to John 7 for a minute. I want to compare something. John 4, we're going to go to John 7 just for a moment. Look at verse number 37. This is what Jesus was talking about. Look at verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me," verse 38, "as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, Oh, of a truth, this is the prophet." So Jesus is on the holy ground. Jesus is in the holy place there on the mountain, there in Jerusalem. And he stands and he proclaims, "Hey, I got some living water for you. I got a new life for you. I got something different for you." So we see in John 4 he says this. We see in John 7 that he says this. I want you to go back to John 4 and look at verse 16. Because I want you to watch this. This woman, in fact, let me back up just a little bit here. Look, Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I give unto him," verse 14, "shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give unto him shall be in him a well springing up into everlasting life." So Jesus says, "Hey, could you give me a drink of water?" And she's confused. She's not getting the water. She's saying, "Why are you asking water of me? You're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan. You can tell by the dress. You're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan. Why are you asking water of me?" And Jesus said, "Well, if you knew who I was, I got water for you, everlasting water. I've got eternal water. I've got something where you'll never thirst again." And this woman, by this time, she's confused by the whole conversation, because something's going on inside of her. Something is preventing her from finding the place of comfort and the place of security and the place of rest and the place of salvation. There's something blocking this. There's something in her mind that is different than what he is speaking. She's not receiving it. In fact, she just says, in a few moments, she's going to say, "Give me this water." And Jesus did not say, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. Here, you can have it. He did not say that. He said, "Go get your husband." In fact, look, Jesus said in verse 16, "Go call thy husband and come hither." And the woman answered and said, "I have no husband." And Jesus said unto her, "Thou hast well said, I have no husband." Why? Because you got five, and the one you're living with right now is not your husband. I mean, sounds like a Jerry Springer show just sprung up, doesn't it? Right? No, it doesn't. Jesus had to get to the heart of the matter. You see, Jesus saw her. Jesus spoke to her. But I want you to notice he spoke truth to her. "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." He spoke truth to this woman. "Go get your husband." "I don't have a husband." "Oh, you've answered right. You've had five, and the one you're with right now is not your husband." Now, I mean, that rocked her back 3 or 4 steps, wouldn't you say? I mean, she's all ears. She's listening. There's a difference between wanting this living water and needing this living water. There's a difference between Brother Burks, Ms. Burks and I, Wendy and I have gone to many foreign countries, 24 I've been to, and many of the countries I go to, some of the countries, especially in Southeast Asia and India, I notice that it's so easy if you're not careful. You preach Jesus Christ and His death, His burial, and all of a sudden, oh yeah, I'll take that. And it's like they have, oh, I'll put Him on my shelf with all the other gods. Yeah. And I got a God here and a God here and a God here and a God here and a God here. And they'll just add Him to the shelf of God. You know what I'm saying? And Jesus said, no, you. If you knew who I was and what I could give you, okay, give it to me. And He says, go get your husband. Go. I have no husband. Oh, you've answered right away. But you have 5, and the one you're with now is not your husband. Now, I'm sure you have to see this and realize she's at a well at noon. She is not there when all the other women are there. Maybe because she would be talked about if she was there. Maybe everybody knows she's the outcast. She's the one that's the loser with the big L on her face. Loser. Maybe she don't have any friends. She's there alone on purpose. She don't know who to talk to. She'd rather do life alone because it's just easier that way. I don't want to be vulnerable anymore because every time I get vulnerable, I get hurt. That's what's going on with this woman. And she shows up, regular schedule, regular time, do what's got to be done, but I don't want to really be close to anybody anymore. And Jesus is sitting there. And they start a conversation. Hey, could I get a drink of water? Tired, been traveling. And she doesn't even respond with, yes, sir, I'll be glad to get you some water. Oh, no. No, who are you? Who? You see the Spirit? And then Jesus says, if you knew who I was, ma'am, what I could give you right now, I can give you water where you'll never thirst again. And she says, give it to me. No, no, no. I got to give you some more truth before I can give it to you. Because there's a difference. There's a difference between wanting this living water and understanding that you need it. I grew up in a good church. I've got a well experience. I grew up in a good church. I mean, I was just a few days old in the nursery. I heard the preacher preach. I heard salvation. And there was many times that I want that. Oh, I'll take that. But it wasn't until I was 11-year-old boy in Ray and Sue Dobbins' house in the basement. When Mike Reynolds opened the Bible to Acts chapter 16. And Jesus saw me there. And Jesus convinced me that I was a sinner. And I was damned and doomed for a place called hell unless I trusted a Savior to save me. And I didn't care who else was there. I didn't care what else was going on. That day in that basement, all the boys and girls went up for cookies and Kool-Aids and maybe even hot dogs. I don't know. That's my favorite dish. But I didn't care. It didn't bother me. Because I wanted to stay down there because I wanted to know for sure when I die, I go to heaven. I knew I needed this Savior named Jesus. And Mike Reynolds, when everybody was gone, he got down. I got on a green carpet, on a green couch. And we both knelt against the green couch. And he opened the Bible. And he showed me that Ben Burks would not have to do anything else. And he would die and go to a place called hell. Because we're born that way. We're born sinners. We're born with a penalty of sin on our heads. And we've added to that with our own sin. And the Bible says in Revelation 21, there'll be no unrighteousness there. This woman, God loved her, but He hated the sin that she had. And God set a divine intervention for His Son to be at this well on this hour. And this woman shows up and begins to communicate to her the message that God loves her, but God hates her sin. And there would be one that would come that would pay for all of that sin. He would take all of that sin. He didn't just die for the sin. He died in the sin. And everyone that believes this, He'll remove their sin and He'll give them His righteousness. That's the gift He's talking about. He'll give you life eternal. He'll give you a well springing up on the inside. This righteousness that He implants there, that is springing up and springing out of you and me as a Christian. Amen? The righteousness of Christ in us. Imputed righteousness. I want you to notice what happens next in this passage. Verse 15, the woman said unto Him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And Jesus said unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast five husbands. And the one now is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. The woman said unto Him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. I don't know, but I guarantee you, she wondered, who have you been talking to? Who sent you here? And she's on the borderline of possibly where she could get real mad and real upset, right? She already hadn't had a great spirit about things. Reminds me, 2 weeks ago, Ms. Burks and I, Wendy and I, was in Pleasant Hill, Missouri, a little town like this town, and we were doing a missions conference. And on one particular night, there's a man showed up, and he's probably 27, 28 years old. He had big gauges in his ear, you know, big holes, big round holes with gauges in them, and several other earrings in his ears. And he showed up. And the first preacher preached, and I watched him as he preached, and he was under conviction, and then I preached. And during the invitation time, this man stood up and came forward. And he knelt before I could get over to him. And so I let him be there for a little bit. And when he stood up, I said, Hey, would you like for somebody to take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure when you die you'll go to heaven? He said, Yeah, I'd like that. So the preacher came down, and the first preacher, he came down, and I introduced him. He had heard him speak, and they left. They went out of the room to talk. And later found out that the preacher sat down with him and says, Look, I hope what I'm getting ready to tell you is going to make you mad. I hope you get angry with me because what I'm getting ready to tell you. I don't have good news for you first. I've got bad news for you first. You know, nobody can get saved until they get lost first. Let me say it again. There's a difference between wanting this living water and understanding your need for this living water. Because you can argue all your pain away, and you can argue all your suffering away, and you can blame and shift blame, and we're good at that. We've done it a lifetime under the bondage and just continual shifting and blaming. And Jesus said, we'll ramp it up here a little bit. Notice what happens next in the story. Because I love the way this continues in verse 19. The woman said unto Him, Sir, I perceive that Thou art a prophet. How do you know all this? How do you know this stuff about me? You're not just talking religious language anymore. You're being real personal into my life right now. By the way, Nobody gets saved until they understand that Jesus died for you, in your place. Was buried in your place, but praise God, He rose again. Amen. And Jesus said unto her, verse 26, look at 26, I that speak unto thee am He. I am that prophet. She just said, the next words out of her mouth is, there's coming one. No, Jesus said, I am the one. I am He. Verse 28, look what happens. The woman left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto Him. I've got 4 points. I want you to write them down. I want you to remember these points. I want you to understand that just like Jesus spoke to this woman, He might be speaking to you today. He might have a word for you today. It might be a divine appointment today in your life. I want you to write these 4 thoughts down and then we'll go to dinner. Number one, Jesus saw her. Jesus saw that He sought this woman out and He saw her. Jesus was looking for this conversation with this woman. I want to tell you, Jesus sees you this morning too. Amen? He knew where you'd be. He knew where I'd be. He knew what the text would be. He saw you. He didn't just see everything about where you work and where you live. No, He saw you. He knows your heartache. He knows your burden. He knows the abuse you may have gone through. He knows the hurt that you carry. He knows the hurt that you cover up. He knows all of that. He sees you. Just like He saw this woman. He knows it all. He doesn't just know a little bit. He knows everything. He saw you. Number two, second point. If they go this fast, we'll be done quicker. Amen? Number two, Jesus spoke truth to her. Jesus is willing to speak truth to her. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. It's not just mercy. Oh, God wants to forgive everybody. God wants, that's true. But it's done through truth. Amen. Yeah. You're not going to lie your way to heaven. You're not going to be deceitful all the way to the glory land. It's not going to happen. Because the truth is what makes free. You shall know the truth. The same thing that binds you is the same thing that sets you free. The truth. The Bible said, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. He was willing to show her her need for salvation. He was willing to bring up some topics that would show her, yeah, your husband may not have been all that he should have been. Maybe he was a jerk. But let's look at you. Let's look inside of you. Let's look at what's going on inside of you. And Jesus spoke truth to this woman. Number three, Jesus saved her. Amen? Amen. You might say, well, Brother Burks, I didn't see salvation take place. Well, if you look a little further in verse 39, and many of the Samaritans that's in that city believed on Him, for the saying of the woman which testified, He told me all that ever I did. I mean, this woman got saved. Look at verse 42. And said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard Him ourselves. Now know this is indeed, we know this indeed is the Christ, the Savior of the world. You know, you're not going to get saved because of my words today. The only chance you got of getting saved is the words of God. Amen? Believing God's Word. God's Word says that you're a sinner. God's Word says that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, John 3:16, to pay for all of your sins, to be the sacrifice for all of your sins, to be the one who stands in between you and hell. And He says, I will take your hell. I will take your punishment. I will take your sin. Amen. And then the Bible says, whoever believes this receives my Son, Jesus, as the payment and the penalty for sin, they will be saved. And for me, in Acts chapter 16, it was whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen? But I knew as an 11-year-old boy, I was on my way to hell. I was a sinner. I needed to be saved. I needed this life of Jesus. And I called on Him and He saved me. This woman, she called on the Lord there. She believed in Him. She got saved. Now, she tries to change the conversation. Oh, she started talking about worshiping God. And Jesus turned it again. He says, they that worship God must worship God in spirit and in truth. And then He says, the Father seeketh such. He's looking, the Father's seeking you to worship Him. The Father wants you, woman at the well, the woman of Samaria. He wants you to be in His family. He wants to adopt you into His family. He wants to save you and bring you eternal life. And somewhere in all that, when she realized Jesus is the one that's making all this possible, she got saved. And she left the water pot there. The reason she came. And she left with the whole well. Amen. The new well inside of her. And she ran back to the city and she told everybody what had happened to her. So I said, number one, Jesus saw her. And He sees you today. Number two, Jesus spoke to truth to her. And I pray that you allow Jesus on the inside to speak truth to you today. You need the Savior, Jesus Christ. No works can get you to heaven. No turning over a new leaf can get you to heaven. Not joining any church can save you. Not being baptized can save you. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name given among heaven whereby you must be saved. Acts 4:12. And that name is Jesus. You need Him as your Savior. Number three, Jesus saved her. And number four, she was compelled to share her story. She was compelled to go tell everybody that she could what had taken place in her life. Have you been compelled to tell somebody else about Jesus and your encounter with Him? The time that you met Him? The Bible didn't say this after she got saved, but she got a journal and she went on a spiritual retreat and she sang Kumbaya. And no, it says she went and told other people what had happened to me. He did not say that she had this amazing encounter with Jesus and then ran all over the country to all the conferences and became the conference attender of all kinds. No, she went and told everybody she could of what happened to her. It didn't say that she went off to a college or a seminary, although I'm not against that, but it did say that she went out and told everybody she could what happened to her. That's what she did. She was compelled to share. Why aren't we compelled to share our experience with Jesus? Why are we too preoccupied with something else and not telling the experience we have? You know, we become an evangelist for whatever satisfies us. Whatever satisfies us, we become an evangelist for them. If you're being satisfied with some TV show, if you're being satisfied with some sport or some football team that'll play next week, if that's what is that where you're getting your satisfaction, then you're going to be an evangelist. In fact, you can look on your Facebook wall and you can tell what you're an evangelist for. You know what I'm saying? Or your Twitter wall. It's just going to show up somewhere. You see, Brother Brooks, I thought this was helping hurting people. It is. It is, because she knew those people back in that town was hurting just like she was hurting. Yeah. I mean, the truth had been revealed. Religion was not the answer. It was a Savior that was the answer. Yeah. And she ran back to town as quick as she could to tell everybody she could about this encounter that she had with Jesus Christ. Because now she has a relationship with the Father. Now she's been adopted into the family. Now that Jesus is her brother. And everything that he has because he's the Father's son, she had because she was the child of the Father too. Oh man, what a day this was. And these people didn't believe her just because she started talking. She had to come find them, him for themselves. And that's what that verse we read said. They said, oh, we believe. Not because of what you said, but we believe because we heard it with our own ears. The seed of the Word of God settled on our own heart. And we realized we were sinners and we were lost. These were half-breed Jews. These were people that thought their religion was going to get them to heaven. These were people that were trying to make a new religion because they didn't fit in the old one. And Jesus showed up and just blows it all to smithereens and says, everybody needs a Savior. I'm the one that came to do that. Amen? I'm the one that came to bring that life to everyone. And we need to be compelled to share that. Jesus saw her, and he sees you. He saw me July 5th, 1976. It was July 4th was the big centennial celebration of the USA. It was Independence Day. But July 5th was Dependence Day for me. It was the day I totally depended upon Jesus Christ to save me. What a day that was. Jesus spoke to her. Jesus saved her. Jesus saw her. And then she went out and started telling anybody and everybody that would listen about her encounter with this Jesus. She had an encounter with Jesus. And she wanted everybody to know about it. I know when my encounter was. Preacher, when was your encounter with Jesus?
April 1st, 1978.
Where was you at?
At Monroe Center, Illinois.
He had an encounter with Jesus. Yeah. How many times have you told people about that event in your life? Lots. Lots. How many of you got one of those events in your life? You've got an encounter with Jesus. Amen. Ms. Birch, where was you at? Natchez, Mississippi. Now, if you really got to know my wife, she'd tell you there was one time in her life where she prayed a prayer and she wasn't quite sure. And so later in life, she nailed it down. But she knows for sure she's had an encounter with Jesus. Do you know for sure you had an encounter with Jesus? Well, I hope so. Are you wearied? Are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Jesus is right for whatever's wrong in your life. Just give Him a chance and Jesus will prove that every promise He made is true. Because Jesus is right for whatever's wrong in your life. Whatever's wrong. And I'll tell you, folks, Jesus is right for whatever's wrong in their life out there too. And the encounter we had with Jesus, He saw me. He spoke to me. He saved me. I have His Word. I can take you to Acts 16 and show you His Word that He spoke to me. And I called and received Jesus as my Savior. How do you know you're saved? Because I got His Word on it. Amen. He always does what He says He'll do. Amen? I know I'm saved, not because I feel differently, not because I do certain things. No, it's all based on His Word. His Word was given to me that day. I had an encounter with Him. And He saved me that day. Maybe you're here today and He wants to save you. I mean, just as special that woman, that well experience. This preacher that came to preach to hurting hearts. Maybe today you know. You can't say you have an encounter with Him. Oh, you may have an encounter with the church. You may have an encounter with the baptism. You may have an encounter with whatever. But if it's anything other than Jesus, it can't be another idol on the wall. It can't be a little bit of him and a little bit of this and look. No, it's only Jesus that saves. Are you weary? Are you heavy hearted? Tell it to Jesus. You got to go to Him. He's the one that can take it all away. He's the one that can put a well on the inside that just keeps springing up and springing up. It's a new life in there. It's a new way of living that He put in there. It's a new relationship now that you have. It's a new family. It's a whole new life. It all came about because of an encounter with Jesus Christ. And you got saved. The goal is not to make you feel guilty today for not sharing that story. The goal is to remember your amazing encounter and get back to telling others about it. Amen? The goal is to help you today understand at the beginning of this conference that there's a world around here. There are people at the gas station on this side and the gas station on that side. There are people and faces that you're going to see. And you may know part of their story. And there's somebody that needs the Lord not too far from here. There's somebody that needs to be here this week not too far from here. And let's not stop with just an encounter. Let's rekindle that desire to go tell somebody. I never forget, after I got saved, I went upstairs. I think I grabbed a popsicle. I'm not sure, but I think I grabbed a popsicle. And I went next door and I told my mom that I got saved. I told my sister, who was part of the team that was doing the child evangelism that week, I told my sister that I got saved. Before the hour was over, I went next door to a woman named Vera, and I told Vera I got saved. In fact, it wasn't, I don't even think the hour was up before I went and told a man named Mr. Roach, who later I had the privilege. He was a blind, he was a man that could not hear very well, could not see very well, and he would take care of a bunch of bees in his yard. And it was weeks later, but I had the privilege to be a part of Mr. Roach getting saved and seeing an encounter with that man coming to Jesus. I did not see it with Vera. I don't know if Vera's in heaven or hell, or by her testimony she claims that she's saved, and that's all I can know. But I tell you, when I got saved, I could not wait to tell somebody else what happened. I don't know. Anybody else experienced that? Look at there, several hands went up. Yeah, I couldn't wait to tell people what happened. It's better than any roller coaster. It was better than any trip. I'm telling you, that encounter was hundreds of times better than actually going to Israel and see it all happen. I mean, I didn't have to go to see Israel and see what I saw there to know that it was already true, because I already had an encounter with Him. Amen. Already had an encounter with Him. As we look at John chapter 4 this morning, here's the question. Here's the takeaway. Am I truly saved? And then number 2, am I truly satisfied with Jesus? Because this woman was. She wasn't satisfied with her first husband, her second husband, her third husband, her fourth husband. In fact, the satisfaction I'm talking about, I can't provide that for my wife, and my wife can't provide that for me. But God can. Are you satisfied with Jesus? If not, this week I want you to come Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and tonight, and let us stir that up inside so you can get back to being satisfied with Him. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.